ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम बैक टू अवर भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स। टुडे वी आर स्टार्टिंग द फोर्थ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। इन द लास्ट 15 डेज वी कंप्लीटेड द फर्स्ट थ्री कैंटोस ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। द प्रोमिनेंट टॉपिक ऑफ द फोर्थ कैंटो इज विसर्ग और द सेकेंडरी क्रिएशन। सो सर्ग मीन्स द क्रिएशन ऑफ दिस यूनिवर्स डन बाय द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ, and visarga means the creation done by Lord Brahma and his descendants like Swayambhu, Manu and other Prajapatis. So the topic of sarga is elaborately described in the third canto of Bhagavatam, especially in chapters number 5 till 11. And from 12th chapter onwards, we see visarga, the creation of Brahma. And we have been discussing this creation done by Brahma from the 11th chapter, from the 12th chapter of 3rd canto till 20th chapter. As a part of that, we also have seen the pastimes of Lord Varaha. And from the 21st chapter of 3rd canto, we have been discussing the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. The first Manu in this day of Brahma is called Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu's wife is Shatarupa. And Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa begot 5 children. They are Akuti, Prasuti and Devahuti, 3 daughters, Uttanapad and Priyavrata, 2 sons. And from the 3rd canto, 21st chapter, we are discussing the dynasties of these 5 children. And 3rd canto, from 21st chapter till the end, 33rd chapter, we saw the lineage of Mother Devahuti, who was married to Kardama Muni. And in the 4th canto, 1st chapter, we will see the lineages of the other 2 daughters of Swayambhu Manu, Prasuti and Akuti. Devahuti's lineage has been described. Devahuti was married to Kardama Muni and she gave birth to 9 daughters and also one son named Kapila. And we have also seen the teachings of Lord Kapila. And the lineages of Akuti and Prasuti are described in the 1st chapter of 4th canto. And the 16th daughter of Prasuti, who was married to Daksha, was Sati Devi. And Sati married Lord Shiva and she did not have a child. So the reason was asked by Vidura. Then Maitreya Muni elaborated on that whole reason. Thus, 4th canto, 2nd chapter till 7th chapter was a description of the story of Lord Shiva, Sati and Daksha. So that completes the lineages and the connected stories of the daughters of Swayambhu Manu. From 4th canto, 8th chapter till the end, 31st chapter, is the lineage of Uttanapad. And 5th canto, 1st chapter till 15th chapter is the lineage of Priyavrata Maharaj. So 3rd canto, 21st chapter till 5th canto, 15th chapter, this is a description of the dynasties of the children of Swayambhu Manu. So we'll begin this. You can see the chart where the entire dynasty Swayambhu Manu is beautifully depicted. And the prominent topics of 3rd and 4th cantos are Sarga and Visarga, which we have already discussed. Let us begin the 4th chapter, 4th canto, 1st chapter. So, now Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa got 3 daughters, Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti. Devahuti is married, like we have already seen. And we will see the second, another daughter, that is Akuti. Akuti married Prajapati Ruchi and they begot 2 children, one boy and one girl. The boy's name was Yajna and the girl's name was Dakshina. So this Yajna and Dakshina were actually partial expansions of Lakshmi and Narayana. Thus actually a couple was born to Akuti and Prasuti, and Akuti and Prajapati Ruchi. So Akuti's father Swayambhu Manu kept a condition before the marriage of Ruchi only. He said that if you get a boy, then you have to give that boy to me. I will adopt that boy. because Swayambhumanu already predicted that the Supreme Lord is going to take birth as the child of Akuti and Ruchi. So he wanted to have that Lord as his own son. So Swayambhumanu wanted to adopt this boy who is named Yajna. So that Yajna was given as a child to Swayambhumanu. And the Dakshina, the girl, was like raised like a daughter of Akuti and Ruchi. So later when they are grown up, they got married. So actually they are eternal consorts. Lakshmi and Narayan are eternal consort. They may choose a medium of manifestation. They may sometimes manifest through the same parents, but their eternal relationship will not change. We cannot call them brother or sister. And just as Archi and Prithu Maharaj, both of them, this couple has manifested from the body of Veena. And Swayambhumanu and Shatrupa themselves are manifested from Brahmaji's body. So we cannot call these couples as brother and sister, although they are manifesting from the same source. So they are consorts. So then Yajna and Dakshina got married when they are grown up. And they begot 12 sons named Tushitas. So these Tushitas became the demigods in Swayambhuva Manvantara, the devatas. And so that completes the lineage of Akuti and Prajapati Ruchi. So Swayambhumanu has three daughters, Devahuti, Akuti and Prasuti. Devahuti's lineage we have seen. Akuti's lineage also we have seen. Akuti's children are Yajna and Dakshina. Devahuti had one child named Kapila who gave her teachings. And she also had 9 daughters. The 9 daughters were married to 9 different sages. And their sons, the names of their children are described in this chapter also. Just the names are mentioned. And one of those daughters gave birth to this partial expansions of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So her name is Atri, Anasuya. Anasuya married Atri, sage. And Anasuya, who was coming in the lineage of Devahuti, so she gave birth to the partial expansions of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Basically, when Anasuya married Atri Muni, Atri wanted to have a son who is like the Jagadishwara, the controller of the universe. So actually Atri Muni did not have a proper understanding of the Lord of the universe. He was thinking that there must be some Lord of this universe, some controller of this universe, some Jagadishwara, whoever that may be, let him become my son. So let my son be as good as this personality. So with that intention in mind, he performed 100 years of austerities. And after 100 years of austerities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, all three manifested in front of this Atri. Then Atri was bewildered. I called for one personality only. I wanted Jagadishwara, the controller of the universe. Why three personalities manifested here? Then Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva said that we three are controllers of the universe. So all three are controllers. We are all Ishwaras. So we control different departments. So Brahma takes care of the creation department and Vishnu takes care of the maintenance department and Shiva takes care of the destruction department. So like that, these three Gunavataras orchestrate the creation, maintenance and destruction of this world. So all three are controllers in that sense. Although Vishnu is superior to Brahma and Shiva, but Atri did not know this. So somehow by the manifestation, by the pastime of the Lord, so all three people said that we will become your sons. So thus, as a partial expansion of Brahmaji, Soma took birth from Atri and Anasuya. And from Atri and Anasuya, another child was born, that is Dattatreya, who is a partial expansion of Vishnu. Then Durvasa was also born as a third son. So he was a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. So the three children, Soma means moon god, then Dattatreya and Durvasa. So three personalities were born of Atri and Anasuya as partial expansions of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. That's one small story described in this regard. And anyone who describes, anyone who hears these descriptions with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. This is a Falashruti given by Maitreya Muni to all the hearers. So that completes the lineage of Devahuti and Akuti. The third daughter of Swayambhumanu is Prasuti. Prasuti married this popular Prajapati named Daksha. So Daksha is a very popular personality. He's the most prominent Prajapati. Daksha means expert. He's expert in creating progeny. That's why he's called Daksha Prajapati. Praja means living entities. Prajapati means one who is the progenitor of all living entities. So Daksha Prajapati is very expert in increasing the population of this universe in hundreds and thousands and thousands. So Prasuti married Daksha and they both got 16 daughters. And these 16 daughters were given in marriage to different personalities, including very many sages also. But first 13 of them were given to the personality of Dharma. And one of the daughters, Murti, who was married to Dharma, she gave birth to Naranarayana Rishis. So very short description of the birth of Naranarayana Rishis is mentioned. Further, Naranarayana Rishis then went to Gandhamadana Hill to perform their austerities. And 14th daughter, Swaha, was given to Agni. And she gave birth to 3 sons, Pavaka, Pavamana and Shuchi. And 15th daughter was Swadha. She was given in marriage to Pitris. And she gave birth to Vayuna and Dharani. And the 16th daughter was Sati. She married Lord Shiva. And she did not have a child. So then Vidura naturally asked. Vidura is hearing all these explanations from Maitreya. So Vidura asked Maitreya, "My dear Maitreya, why Sati did not have a child?" So that question brings us to this whole topic of this whole episode of Daksha, Sati and Shiva. Now we will see in the second chapter. Once there is a great assembly, in a great assembly of universal leaders, one sacrifice was being conducted. So all these universal celebrities, including various devatas, various rishis, sages, they all assembled to perform a great sacrifice. So in that sacrificial arena, Brahmaji was sitting, Shiva was sitting, and so many other sages like Bhrugu and many other personalities were sitting. So in that assembly, this Daksha Prajapati, with his great effulgence, has made his entry. So he entered there. So everyone stood up, offering respects to Daksha Prajapati. But Brahma and Shiva did not stand up. So Daksha went to Brahmaji. Daksha was the son of Brahma. So Daksha went to Brahma and offered obeisances to Brahma. "My dear father, please accept my respects." And then next to Brahma, Lord Shiva was sitting. And Daksha saw Lord Shiva. Shiva was closing his eyes and meditating on the Supreme Lord. So Shiva did not stand up. So Shiva married Daksha's daughter Sati. And in that way, Shiva is the son-in-law of Daksha. But Shiva did not stand up and Daksha got offended. So although Shiva was the son-in-law of Daksha, but Shiva is the supreme Vaishnava and he is the greatest of all demigods. So his position is certainly superior to Daksha's position, although Daksha has given his daughter to Shiva. So Shiva did not stand up, and the main reason is Shiva was closing his eyes and meditating on the Lord. That's why he did not get up. But Daksha got offended. Daksha very proudly started speaking. He said that this Shiva is shameless. He has destroyed the fame of Lokapalas, means the administrators of the universe. He is not supposed to be in such a role. He has accepted my daughter, means he is my son-in-law, means he is my subordinate. He is supposed to offer respects to me. And he did not offer any respects, although I am standing here. So entire assembly, all the demigods and sages also stood up, but he did not stand up. So when there is hunger for honor, one could become so shameless in expecting respect and even expressing that he has an expectation for respect. So Daksha very publicly, boldly, loudly, repeatedly, he is expressing that I am respectable. That shows that he is having such a poor attitude. So I am supposed to receive respect from Lord Shiva and he has not given me respect. And Daksha even says that I am not speaking out of envy. I am just speaking about proper manners. So an envious person does not admit that he is envious. And he would even declare that I am not envious. I am not speaking out of envy or arrogance. I am just speaking what is an appropriate behavior in public. This Shiva does not know proper behavior. He says that he just roams naked and he laughs and cries in crematorium. And he is auspicious only by name. Shiva, the very name Shiva means he is very auspicious. Daksha says only his name is auspicious. The personality is not auspicious. He has ashes and he has he lives in crematorium. He is very insane and he is dear to insane people. His companions are ghosts and hobgoblins and other kind of poor creatures. And he is internally unclean and externally also unclean. Only because this Parameshti, this Brahma has insisted me, that's why I have given my daughter in marriage to this monkey-eyed rascal Shiva. So in such harsh manner, Daksha has criticized Lord Shiva, although Shiva is such a respectable personality. And he even cursed Shiva, saying that may this Shiva not get any share in sacrifice. So when a sacrifice is conducted, different demigods, different devatas will get their shares of oblations. They get their portions. And Daksha cursed Shiva that he should not get any sacrificial share. And he just left the assembly. So many personalities came and stopped Daksha. Please don't leave the assembly. You should not walk out like this. Although so many exalted personalities are there, out of arrogance, pride and envy, Daksha just walked out of the assembly, paying no heed to any of the requests of so many personalities. So when somebody is so arrogant, so envious, actually Daksha was envious of the exalted position of Lord Shiva. And it's not a circumstantial anger, it's not an emotional outburst that happened spontaneously. It's a deep-rooted, long-lasting envy that Daksha had towards Lord Shiva. So sometimes some people may get angry momentarily and then they will regret and I'm sorry, they will say like that. It's like a momentary outburst. But Daksha has deep-rooted envy since long time. He could not tolerate the higher position of Lord Shiva. So he was very envious. So he became angry. In anger, one forgets everything. So Daksha spoke in a disrespectful manner even in front of Brahmaji, who was like the who was his father and also his superior to all the demigods assembled there. And because Lord Shiva was offended, criticized and cursed publicly by Daksha, Nandishwara became very upset. So Nandi was the bull carrier of Lord Shiva. So Nandi became so upset and then Nandi started criticizing Daksha and all his supporters and followers. Nandi said, Nandi cursed Daksha and his followers. So you become a fool seeing in terms of bodily conception. So you people, followers of Daksha, you will reject the Supreme Lord. You will be absorbed in so many karmakandic activities that are meant for high-grade sensual enjoyment only, without any spiritual substance there. He says, Griheshu kota dharmeshu sakto gramya sukhechaya karma tantram vitanute veda vada vipannadhihi. He says that you supporters of Daksha, you will just get engaged in karmakandic activities and very fruitive activities. Karmakandic activities means activities which are mentioned in Vedic rituals, Vedic scriptures, but they are meant for fruitive enjoyment, sense enjoyment, without any spiritual inclination there. So, and Daksha will definitely get the head of a goat very soon. And he will have to take repeated birth and death. And whoever is supporting Daksha, who is an offender of Lord Shiva, so they will also lose all discrimination. They will lose discrimination in eating. They will be wandering about like beggars. So like that, Daksha is a Brahmana actually. He is the son of Brahma, he is Brahmana. So Nandi's curses are directed towards Daksha and other Brahmanas who are supporting Daksha also. Now one person's mistake could become a curse upon his whole group or community that he belongs to. So Daksha is representing Brahmanical community and Nandi's curses are not only directed towards Daksha, they are directed towards other Brahmanas who are supporting Daksha also. So some of the curses of Nandi are very much seen in the Brahmanas in the Kali Yuga. Acharyas give comment like that. So the curses of Nandishwara on Brahmanas can be seen more prominently in Kali Yuga. And because Daksha has been cursed and Brahmanas have been cursed like this by Nandishwara, one of the Brahmanas, Bhrugu Muni, he became very angry. And Bhrugu started cursing Shiva's followers, Nandishwara and Shiva's followers. So you Shiva's follower, you are cursing Daksha's followers. Means you Shiva's followers are cursing Brahmanas, so Brahmanas will curse Shiva's followers. He says that let all of you become atheists and you will become obstacles in genuine scriptures and you become addicted to intoxication and you take shelter of heretical views and because you have criticized Brahmanas and Vedas who are subject matter of Lord Janardana, so you will take shelter of atheistic views. And because this cursing and counter-cursing is happening, Lord Shiva became very, very morose and sad. So now one person's anger instigated other person's anger. And that anger is not just directed towards this one individual, it's directed towards entire community or group. And a representative of this group started counteracting, counter-cursing another group. Like that, if one person is in poor consciousness and exhibits undue anger in an unreasonable manner, without any maturity, without any logic, without any reasoning, and without any vision for future, then it will unnecessarily contaminate the whole ether and generate such agitating vibrations that can totally contaminate the atmosphere and spoil and agitate the consciousness of other people. So one needs to be very watchful over one's anger. So some small momentary outbursts can happen in everybody's life, but Daksha's anger is not just a small momentary outburst of emotion. Basically, he is holding deep-rooted grudge and envy towards the position of Lord Shiva. And another important point to note here is, for one person's mistake, entire community is being condemned here. And that is also not very appropriate. For instance, Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed by one Brahmana, who is Sringi, the son of Shamik Rishi. But Parikshit Maharaj did not reject the entire Brahmanical community. One Brahmana boy cursed Parikshit Maharaj, but Parikshit is respectful to all Brahmanas and he went and surrendered to another Brahmana boy, that is Sukadeva Goswami, and he has heard Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami for 7 days. So Parikshit Maharaj did not do that mistake of condemning all Brahmanical Brahmanas because one Brahmana cursed him. But Parikshit Maharaj's son Janamejaya has done some mistake. Janamejaya noticed that Parikshit Maharaj has been bitten by one snake. After 7 days, according to the curse of Sringi, Takshaka snake came and just bit Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj left his body. That is predestined according to the curse of Brahmana. So Janamejaya, the son of Parikshit Maharaj, he became inimical to all snakes and he has performed a huge sacrifice in which all the snakes in the universe would come and then they will be thrown into the sacrificial fire and they will die. So for one snake's mistake, Janamejaya wanted to destroy all the snakes in the world. So when the sacrifice was being conducted, Brihaspati came to Janamejaya and said, "Oh Janamejaya, what are you doing? Just because of one person's mistake, you are killing all the people? So it's not appropriate. You have already killed quite a few snakes. So better stop this sacrifice." And it's a very long discussion. So Brihaspati, when he gave this advice to Janamejaya, Janamejaya stopped the sacrifice. Sometimes even exalted personalities or devotees also may just get into certain emotions and then they may tend to go overboard and destroy or punish people beyond limits. But because they are very gentle, their anger is only circumstantial or accidental, not deep-rooted or long-lasting. So when Brihaspati told Janamejaya to stop the sacrifice, Janamejaya immediately stopped the sacrifice. Similarly, once Dhruva Maharaj also, when his brother Uttama was being killed, when his brother Uttama was killed by a Yaksha, Dhruva Maharaj went to Alakapuri and he killed so many Yakshas. So then Swayambhu Manu came and advised Dhruva Maharaj, stop this fight. Then Dhruva stopped the fight. So when we come to Dhruva's episode, we will discuss more details. So sometimes for one person's mistake, entire race could be condemned. Entire community could be punished also. So when we are a part of the community, we need to represent that community in a proper manner and make sure that our mistakes do not cause any blemish to the entire community. And when others do some mistake, we also should be very careful not to label or not to misjudge or not to condemn the entire community or race because of one person's mistake. And here we can see that Daksha did a mistake and all the followers and Brahmanas supporting Daksha have been cursed by Nandishwara. And Nandishwara became angry and criticized Daksha's followers. So Bhrigu Muni cursed Nandi and all the followers of Lord Shiva. So this kind of cursing and counter-cursing has been happening in that assembly. Then Shiva became very upset and Shiva just left the assembly. So Shiva did not speak a single word. Shiva has been tolerant. So Shiva's tolerance is very exemplary in this episode. Although Daksha has been provoking Shiva in various ways, and he blasphemed and criticized Shiva in various ways, still Shiva has been totally tolerant and he did not speak a single word in retaliation. The best retaliation is no retaliation. And because it's a personal insult, Shiva, because he had a lot of tolerance, he did not respond back. But he thought that it is the best way to stop this cursing and counter-cursing by walking out of this assembly. And if I just start speaking in front of Bhrigu or Nandishwara, he was not sure whether they will listen. So he was totally disgusted with this whole incidents that are happening. And he just left that assembly. And the other people who assembled there, so they continued the sacrifice even in the absence of Shiva and Daksha. So this 1,000-year sacrifice continued. So like that, the tension between Shiva and Daksha continued for a while. And that completes the second chapter. We enter the third chapter. Once, Daksha began to perform another sacrifice called Vajapeya and Brihaspati Sava. So he was doing this sacrifice. And for this sacrifice, Daksha invited so many exalted personalities in the universe. And he did not invite Shiva and his wife Sati. Sati was the beloved daughter of Daksha. But Daksha even gave up his affection towards Sati also, because Sati happened to be the wife of Shiva and Daksha envies Shiva. So no invitation came to Sati and Shiva. So Daksha called many other people, so many other demigods and Daksha's other 15 daughters and many other relatives. They were attending this whole ceremony. But Sati did not get an invitation. And Shiva did not get an invitation. And Shiva was doing his tapasya. And he was meditating. And Sati developed a desire to attend the sacrifice of her beloved father, Daksha. And Sati has seen that so many personalities are going to attend that sacrifice. And she has been seeing different demigods are traveling. And she is in that Kailasa and then she is seeing different people just going with beautifully decorated attires and all that. And she developed a desire to go and attend that sacrifice, and she went to Lord Shiva. She requested Shiva, "Shiva, my dear husband, I also feel like going and attending that sacrifice. And my sisters are going, so many other devatas are going, so many brahmanas and sages are attending that sacrifice. So why should we not attend? So let us go. I want to meet my sisters and husbands there. We can receive so many gifts. Let us go." And also, Shiva was not very much favorable to this, and Sati could understand that. And she says that, "I am not a very detached and renounced personality like you. Don't have ideal expectations from me. I am a simple woman. So now, which woman can control her desire to meet her relatives and father and mother and sisters? I also want to decorate myself. I also want to attend. So please, you be merciful on me." Then Shiva said, "My dear Sati, one should not go to the house of a host if the host has a tendency to find faults in the guest. So Then Sati said, my father is a fault finder. You are saying that if I go as a guest to my father's house, he will find faults in me. He has 6 opulences. He has Vidya, Tapo, Vitta, etc. He has so many opulences. He is a very qualified person. He is a Brahmana. He has good education. He has a lot of wealth. And he has great austerity. And Daksha is not an ordinary personality. He will not find any fault with guests. So he will receive guests well. Then Shiva says, in this 16th and 17th and 18th verses, he says, Vidya tapo vitta vapurvayah kulaihi satam gunaihi shadbhirasattamitaraihi smrtau hatayam bhrtamana dudrushah stabdhana pashyanti hidhama bhuyasam. Vidya means education. Tapa means austerity. Vitta means wealth. Vapu means this body, strong body and beautiful body. Vayaha, vaya means youth. And kula, good dynasty. So these are like 6 good qualifications for a person in this world. They are considered very great qualifications. But these qualifications, in a proud person, are not actually his qualifications. They are disqualifications. So he says that they are faults in a proud person. So if these 6 qualifications are there in a person, but if that person is very proud of these 6 qualifications, I am very wealthy, I am very beautiful, I am very youthful, I am very resourceful, I am very austere, I have lot of education. So if somebody is very proud of this, so actually all these things are false. Better not have these great opulences and be humble than have all these opulences and be so proud and puffed up and have a lot of superiority complex. So Daksha definitely has all these opulences, but he's very proud. So he will not be able to respect you, Sati. So please listen to me. And one more thing is, he is your father. And harsh words spoken by father or one's own relatives are very difficult to digest. When some outside people say something on us, then we may not feel so bad. But if our own relatives, our own father or mother or brother or sister or wife or husband, if some comments or criticism comes from one's own family members and relatives, it's very difficult to digest. So you will not be able to digest the neglect and harsh words of your father. Please don't go there. And Sati says, I am his favorite daughter. He will not be harsh to me. And Shiva says, yes, you may be his favorite daughter, but he is not very happy that you are related with me. Because of your connection with me as my wife, he has given up that favoritism. He will not be favorable to you, Sati. Please listen. Then Sati says, are you envious of my father? Then Shiva says, no, I am not envious of your father. Your father is envious of me. Then Sati says, you should have stood up on that day. On that day, in that great assembly, when my father was entering this assembly, you should have stood up. Otherwise, we would not be facing this problem and these tensions now. Then Shiva said, actually, intelligent people and great devotees respect the super soul in the hearts. Then Sati says, super soul is there in Daksha's heart also. Why can't you respect this super soul in Daksha's heart? Then Shiva says, I have been meditating on the super soul on that day. I was sitting and meditating. So when I am respecting the super soul, I am respecting Daksha also. Daksha did not understand that. So basically Shiva was absorbed in meditation and Daksha was offended because of that. And he says, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yadiyate Tatra Pumana Pavrataham Sattvecha Tasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Yadhokshajo Me Namasa Vidhiyate Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. That Vasudeva is in Shuddha Sattva Guna, and whoever meditates on that personality in samadhi, in trance, with complete absorption in mind, he is actually naturally respecting every single living entity. It's not necessary that you separately offer obeisances to Daksha and others. So it's not that Shiva had any inimical or disrespectful feelings towards Daksha. Daksha, Shiva did not have any envy or anger or disrespect towards Daksha. He was just absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Lord, on Vasudeva, and suddenly Daksha made his entry and Shiva did not get up because he was meditating, and Daksha got offended. And it's not just this one small incident that angered Daksha. Daksha was holding a deep-rooted envy, and he just got an opportunity to express all that envy and anger and frustration on Shiva in this context. It's not that Daksha was offended just on that one spot, just because of that one small mistake only. It's a long-lasting envy that he is holding, and he took this opportunity to express his anger and critical mentality. So sometimes we may hold a lot of grudge and anger on other people, and when we may be looking forward for an opportunity to just vent out our frustration or show our anger or defame him or just do something. So Daksha also was, he became very angry in that context. It's not like a momentary outburst, it's a long-lasting envy. So then Shiva finally says, please don't go. If you go, you will be disrespected there, and you will not be able to bear that insult, and you may even lose your life also. I will lose you. Please don't go. And Shiva requested, and Shiva firmly conveyed his conviction that Sati should not be going there. And if you go, you will be only humiliated, and you might even meet death also. I don't want that to happen. Then that completes the third chapter. We enter the fourth chapter. Now, when Shiva said like this, and then he became silent. And Sati was not pleased with the answer of Shiva. Sati was very unhappy. Sati's emotions and her feelings towards her own family members were so intense that she could not digest the advice of Lord Shiva. And she cried out of affection for her relatives. And her intelligence was totally bewildered. When somebody gets too emotional and too disappointed and discouraged because of not fulfilling one's own desires, then one cannot think with a proper mindset, with proper intelligence. One's intelligence gets totally bewildered. And Sati even looked at Shiva with great anger, with her eyebrows frowning, and she was looking at Shiva as if to burn him to ashes. And she could not speak much also. So she was undergoing a lot of turmoil in her heart. And she made a firm decision. So let me just go and attend the sacrifice. So in this fight between her inclination towards husband and father, she somehow managed to choose to attend father's sacrifice and neglect the advice of husband. But Shiva is always concerned about Sati Devi, and Shiva just made an indication to his followers. All the Pramathaganas, Nandishwara is there, and so many other people are there, Shiva's associates. He indicated to them. So Sati is making a firm decision to go to Daksha's sacrifice. So let her not go alone. I won't be able to accompany her. At least you people just go along with her and then take her safely to her father's house. So seeing this indication, so all the Shiva's followers, headed by Nandi and many other yakshas, just made Sati sit on a bull, and they gave Sati a sarika bird, a ball, a lotus, a mirror, a white umbrella, fan and garland, and with a great procession, they took Sati all the way to Daksha. Because Sati was advised by Shiva, but Sati was not inclined to listen to that advice of Lord Shiva, because of her deep feelings and emotions. So then Shiva arranged for all this procession to take her, and Sati came to Daksha's sacrificial arena. And nobody came. Actually, when Sati arrived at that sacrificial arena, Daksha noticed her, but that Daksha did not do anything to welcome her. So she received a very cold reception there. Cold welcome there. And although Sati's mother, who is Prasuti, and her other sisters, she had 15 sisters, they also came for the sacrifice. So her sisters and mother came and received Sati and tried to show their affection towards Sati, and they were giving a lot of gifts to Sati, but Sati was not satisfied with that. Sati was specifically looking for some attention and some sweet words from Daksha, and Daksha was totally indifferent. So proud and so egoistic he was that he did not even speak some sweet words to welcome his daughter when she came on her own to attend his sacrifice. So even an enemy who is received at home, who comes to our house, should be received properly, that he forgets all enmity. But Daksha, he was so proud and puffed up and egoistic that he could not even welcome his own daughter. She was not his enemy in any way. She came out of love and affection for father, but Daksha did not value that. So then when Daksha was indifferent, and Sati became angry with Daksha. And Sati also noticed that Daksha has been conducting such a huge sacrifice, and there were no oblations for Lord Shiva in that sacrifice. Generally, when a sacrifice is conducted, all the demigods should get their shares. But no oblations were being offered in the name of Lord Shiva. Sati noticed that also. Sati got offended. And when Sati became angry, she was offended, seeing her emotions and seeing her feelings. All the followers of Daksha, they became angry and they were ready to attack Daksha. But Sati stopped them. You should not attack. So let me speak to this fellow. So Sati started speaking to Daksha. Sati said, "Who except you hates glorious Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is so glorious. He is so auspicious. He is best of all sadhus. You can see good qualities in Shiva. So you are ati asadhutama." So Shiva is such a personality. There are multiple levels of sadhu, asadhu. Sadhu means a good person. Asadhu is a bad person. And there are multiple gradations also. Now Sati said that Shiva is such an exalted personality, exalted sadhu, that he can see good in people, although there is not much good in them also. He will magnify little good in people. He will see good in them. That's how he is magnanimous. And you can see the good qualities of other people also as faults. You have such a perverted consciousness. Shiva is so glorious in multiple ways, and you are finding fault in Shiva also. And although Shiva may forgive you, the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnava will not forgive an offender like you. You will have to face the consequences of all your anger and envy and hatred and grudge towards Lord Shiva. And Shiva's name, even the name of Shiva, even the fame of Shiva can destroy all sins. And you are accumulating a lot of sin in holding envy towards Lord Shiva. You offended Shiva, who is sought of both by materialistic people and transcendentalists. So some materialistic people who desire a lot of enjoyment, they worship Shiva. Sometimes demons also worship Shiva. And definitely pure devotees of Lord Vishnu, they see that Lord Shiva is the exalted Vaishnava, that is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, is the best of all Vaishnavas. They worship Lord Shiva to get some mercy of Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. So Shiva is very favorable to Vaishnavas. Shiva even says, "Yah param brahma sasakshat triguna jiva samgitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannah sapriyo hime." Whoever worships Lord Shiva, whoever worships Lord Vasudeva with great love and affection, is very dear to Lord Shiva also. Shiva comes with lot of affection towards such people, and he helps them in their devotional service. Just like Prachetas, the sons of Prachinabarhi, they were trying to worship Lord Vasudeva. Shiva voluntarily came and taught them Rudra Gita and helped them in worshipping Lord Vasudeva. So Shiva is very much inclined towards Vaishnavas, spiritual seekers, sadhakas, and he is also worshipped by materialistic people. So like that, everybody worships Lord Shiva and everybody respects Lord Shiva, and this Daksha is disrespecting Lord Shiva. So he is disrespecting the most respectable and worshipable Lord Shiva out of envy. So now one should block one's ears and leave that place when somebody offends a Vaishnava. And if possible, one can even punish such an offender or cut his tongue or even kill him. She says like that. See, karnaopidhaya nirayadyada kalpa ishe dharma vitarya srinibhir nribhirasya mane chindyat prasahya rushatim asatim prabhuschet. jihvamasun apitato visrujet sa dharma. When an offender criticizes or offends a Vaishnava, other people should not tolerate it. Our Vaishnava philosophy says that, Vaishnava culture says that, one can tolerate all the insults or offenses done towards oneself, but one should not tolerate any offenses or insults done towards other Vaishnavas. So Sati says that according to the Vaishnava culture, Daksha should not be tolerated. Either Daksha's tongue has to be cut or either Daksha should be killed. But it is not appropriate for a daughter to kill father. So Daksha did, Shiva, Sati did not do that. Sati felt that instead of killing my father, I will kill myself only. I am unable to tolerate my connection with this sinful personality Daksha. When people address me as Dakshayani, Dakshayani means daughter of Daksha. When people address me as Dakshayani, I cannot tolerate such an address. So Sati felt so disgusted of her connection with Daksha and she wanted to commit suicide. She invoked the fire element within her body and she meditated on the lotus feet of Lord Shiva and she left her body in that fire. So she self-immolated herself. So she was burnt in front of everybody who attended that sacrifice. And although Sati was about to burn her body, burn herself, still Daksha did not have any even slight amount of kindness or compassion or concern for his daughter. So if somebody is so egoistic, so proud and puffed up of one's own position, so envious of other person, then one can become so hard-hearted that he just gives up all affection towards one's own family members or daughters or dependents. And one will just become so hard-hearted. So Daksha was like that. Daksha was just watching the show. He did not do anything to stop Sati Devi. So when Sati gave up her body, this hard-hearted Daksha, who was unworthy of being called as a Brahmana, he did not do anything to stop. And Shiva's followers got ready to kill Daksha. Then Daksha's supporters, Bhrugu and other Brahmanas, they offered oblations to create some personalities who can attack Shiva's followers. So powerful Ribhus appeared and then they counter-attacked Shiva's followers. And all Shiva's followers just ran away. And all this full incident, that completes the fourth chapter, we come to the fifth chapter. So all these incidents have been narrated by Narada Muni to Lord Shiva. And in great anger, Shiva just took a bunch of his hair and then threw it on the ground. And Virabhadra, an expansion of Lord Shiva, appeared there. And Shiva ordered Virabhadra, you go and destroy Daksha's sacrificial arena and punish all those offenders who have caused the death of my wife Sati Devi. So then Virabhadra went there. And Virabhadra was also accompanied by so many soldiers of Lord Shiva. And they were holding different weapons. They were looking very ferocious. They were so angry in their mood. So they were coming towards Daksha's sacrificial arena. And all the personalities and even ladies in Daksha's sacrificial arena could understand that some great dust storm is coming towards them. Then some people started doubting. So what is this? And some people said that it is a result of Daksha's sinful activities. This hard-hearted personality is the cause of noble Sati's death. Chaste Sati died because of the neglect and indifference and hatred and envy of her father Daksha. So Daksha's sinful activities are bearing the result now. So then as they were discussing like that, while seeing all these dangerous omens, Virabhadra and his associates came and surrounded the sacrificial arena of Daksha. So they pulled, they destroyed pillars, they went into women's quarters, they destroyed the assembly hall, they contaminated the whole area with urine and all that, and they blocked the way of people who are fleeing there. Some sages and brahmanas started running away from there and they blocked them. And Maniman tied up Bhrugu, Daksha, Pusha and Bhaga, and some priests started running away. And Virabhadra tore off Bhrugu's mustache and broke Pusha's teeth and plucked out Bhaga's eyes. And Virabhadra finally, after destroying the whole sacrificial arena, he just took an axe and chopped off Daksha's head and threw that head in the sacrificial fire, and Virabhadra went to Kailash to report to Lord Shiva. Thus, Daksha's offense towards Shiva and Sati and all followers of Shiva in that sense, that destroyed his own sacrifice, and all his supporters also were, many of his supporters were also destroyed. So this is the effect of committing Vaishnava Aparad. When somebody offends an exalted personality like Lord Shiva, one cannot expect any success in one's activities. One cannot expect any peace in one's life. And although Shiva was quite tolerant when Daksha was insulting him personally, Shiva could not tolerate when Sati died. So a Vaishnava may tolerate personal insults, but a Vaishnava does not tolerate insults done to other Vaishnavas. So Shiva loved Sati so much that he tried to console her and tried to keep her back in Kailash only and not allow her to go to Daksha's sacrifice, but she did not listen. So then when she died, Shiva became furious, and Shiva taught a lesson to those people who caused her death. So after that, after this whole incident in the 6th chapter, all the devatas went and informed Lord Brahma. So Brahma and Vishnu, knowing that something like this would be happening in Daksha's sacrificial arena, so they did not attend the sacrifice only. Because when an envious person is doing some ceremony, that could naturally cause some unpleasant happenings only. So that's why Brahma and Vishnu did not even attend the sacrifice of Daksha. So all the demigods and sages who were in the sacrificial arena of Daksha went and reported to Brahma. And Brahma said that you have offended a great personality like Lord Shiva. What else do you expect? So you cannot be happy if you offend a great personality. So you all should go to Lord Shiva and please him with a pure heart. You should pacify him. And he's specifically upset because he lost his wife Sati Devi. So then Brahmaji personally accompanied all these demigods and sages and went to the place where Lord Shiva was sitting in the Kailasha mountain. And on the way, Brahmaji and many other personalities who were accompanying him, they saw the beauty of Kailasha mountain in that whole Alakapuri region. And there were so many gardens and waterfalls and rivers, and Alakananda river is flowing. So it was a very pleasant scene. And that place is specifically meant for the pleasure of all the devatas. It's like a picnic spot for them. So then Shiva was sitting under a big banyan tree. Finally, Brahmaji has arrived in front of Shiva. And Shiva just got up from his seat. And he seems to be very sober and gentle and grave. And he saw this Shiva. Shiva saw Brahmaji and got up from his seat. Actually, when Brahma came to Lord Shiva, Brahma could see Lord Shiva speaking on some spiritual subject matters, glorifying the absolute truth in front of so many exalted personalities, including Narada and then Kumaras and Yakshas, and Kuvera was also present there. So like that, when Brahmaji arrived in front of Lord Shiva, Shiva got up and welcomed Brahma, and Brahma started speaking to Shiva. Oh Shiva, you are such an exalted personality. You have created so many systems, and you have to uphold this Varnashrama Dharma, and the whole, you have to support this principle of sacrifice, and we understand that Daksha has offended you and you have lost your wife also. But surrendered devotees like you, exalted Vaishnavas like you, do not become angry. Only animals become angry. So please, you don't have to kill these sinful people. People who are sinful will be killed by their own sinful activities. So you don't have to do all that. So people like you, Vaishnavas like you, are never bewildered by Maya. So kindly withdraw your anger and please restore the limbs and limbs of all the personalities who were affected by your wrath in this Daksha's sacrificial arena. And please take your share in all the sacrifices. Then Shiva was pleased with Brahmaji's appeal, and Shiva was kind enough to accommodate this whole Daksha's mistake and forgive Daksha's mistake. And he said that he agreed to restore the limbs and the whole body of all those people who are affected in Daksha's sacrificial arena. And finally, Shiva comes to Daksha's sacrificial arena and he places a goat's head on Daksha's body and revives his life. And when Daksha's life was revived, Daksha just got up as if he was getting up from sleep, and Daksha folded his hands and begged forgiveness from Lord Shiva. He offered prayers, and Daksha also remembered the ill fate of his daughter Sati, and he regretted for everything that has happened because of his own arrogance, and he begged forgiveness from Lord Shiva. He said that, "My dear Lord, I have arrogantly insulted you, but you have compassionately saved me by punishing me. Your punishment is also your grace only." Actually, when Brahmaji was trying to pacify Shiva also, Shiva said that, "I have not punished them out of my hatred towards them. I have punished them just as a loving father might punish his mischievous children." So then Daksha again began his sacrifice, and in that sacrifice, Lord Vishnu appeared on the back of Garuda, and Vishnu has given one warning, to a caution note to Daksha. "Oh Daksha, please understand that there is no difference between me and Shiva and Brahma, in the sense that we are all one in purpose. Our purpose is same. So Shiva is destroying the universe, I am maintaining the universe, and Brahma is creating the universe. So we are all there to orchestrate the affairs of this universe. In that sense, we are all same. So you should respect me just like you respect me. You should respect other demigods also. In fact, you should respect all the living entities. All are amshas of the Lord. So one should, if we worship the Lord, and if we do not respect those devotees of the Lord or the living entities who are actually amshas of the Lord, parts and parcels of the Lord, then the Lord will not be pleased." So then all the demigods who assembled in the sacrificial arena of Daksha, they offered prayers to the Supreme Lord. All the Vidyadharas, Kinnaras, Kimpurshas, Yakshas, and Brahmanas, sages, all these personalities offered various prayers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu according to their own capacity. Even our capacity to offer prayer to the Lord is also coming from the Lord. Our ability to offer prayers to Krishna comes from the Supreme Lord Krishna only. So then Vishnu instructed Daksha in this way, and Daksha completed the sacrifice, and Daksha worshipped Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu also, and everyone departed. And Sati, who has given up her body in Daksha's sacrificial arena, she took birth in her next life. She took birth as the daughter of Himalayas, and her name is Parvati, and she again married Lord Shiva, her lord, and she continued to stay with Lord Shiva. And hearing and narrating this pastime with devotion will destroy all sin. So thus we completed the description of the beautiful episode of Sati, Shiva, and Daksha. And this episode was spoken by Maitreya in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam in the connection of describing the descendants of the daughters of Swayambhumanu. One of the daughters of Swayambhumanu was Prasuti, who married Daksha, and one of her 16 daughters was Sati, and Sati's story came. So the flow of Bhagavatam is the description of the descendants of Swayambhumanu. In that, so many other stories are also coming. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.